everybody's working. With that, time's yours.
I think that the three of us need to have a really serious conversation, and I think acknowledge our own sort of unrealized power. This is Time's Ours. It's Kansas City Chiefs podcast on The Athletic. I'm Joshua Briscoe with Nate Taylor and Seth Kaiser. I'm just gonna give you guys the facts, and then you tell me what we should do, but I have at least something I'd like to pitch you. We talked about the Texans game for basically 3 months. The Chiefs won that in convincing fashion.
Yep.
We barely acknowledged the Chargers, and the Chiefs barely won that game.
This is true.
We spent pretty much a whole show on the Ravens. We even had Lewis Riddick. The Chiefs won in a strong fashion.
Blitzed them to death when they got blitzed.
That's right. We talked about the Patriots like a little bit, largely just kind of in how weird it was. But like the Chiefs won that game, but it wasn't like fun or like perfect.
Poetic is not what I would call it.
No. And then on Friday, we didn't talk about the Raiders game at all, and the Chiefs got just a good old-fashioned tail-whooping by a football team that I still don't think is very good. And so I would like to propose that this is the beginning of our Chiefs versus Bills preview show, episode 1 of 2. We're just going to talk about Chiefs-Bills for like a week straight. Do you guys have a better idea?
No, but I would like to also acknowledge Ranny.
Yeah.
Love you, dog.
Thanks for listening, Randy.
We technically weren't on the field, but I know that our impact was massive in terms of convincing me in the press box wearing a mask that yes, because I did not mention the Raiders at any great length on Friday is the reason we are the reason that the Chiefs have stopped winning games in the end of a 13-game winning streak came to an end to an arch rival who was, you know, throwing its entire season at the Chiefs. But hey, Randy's right, and I take responsibility for that, as do my colleagues, and we will be better next week.
It was a look-ahead game for us, and I forgot that that meant something. Clearly execution was a problem for us. Details, you know, it is our responsibility. Seth, you have any coach speak you'd like to throw in there and really kind of take some barbs for us?
I got nothing, man. I think in the time that we were just starting this off, I'm pretty sure the Chiefs secondary just left another Raider with no one within 20 yards of him for a touchdown. I think it's just really nice how they allowed Bob Sutton to come back and coach as a legacy coach for one game. And I just think it's also really sweet that they've learned how to share, as in sharing space all over the field, where it's like, hey, oh, you're going to go deep? Why not? It's Derek Carr. He never throws deep. He has 6 times this game already. But, I mean, is Ruggs fast? I don't think he's fast. I'm Dan Sorensen. I'm a hero in the Super Bowl and the playoffs, which you are, by the way, Dan. Kudos to you. Better at football than I am at literally anything. So I'm just going to head towards the line of scrimmage, towards the crossing route, and leave Ruggs alone against a corner with outside leverage. So I'm doing really well, is what I'm saying.
Was that definitely Dan Sorensen, by the way? Because
I have seen Dan Sorensen.
I had someone tell me that was Tyrann Mathieu. I had someone tell me it was Tedrick Thompson, and you just said it was Dan Sorensen, and I haven't found the replay of that play.
He thought he had the crosser, and look, I love Dirty Dan. No one loves him more than I do. Well, I'm sure his family does, but besides them, that's it. But I'll tell you, because it wasn't just Sorensen. The safeties, like, I don't know what happened. It was just like, man, these Chiefs safeties are good. It's like the safeties all got together and said, man, they've really been leaning on us, and everyone's crediting Spagnuolo for like, yeah, getting such great play out of these corners. Guys, what if we played bad one game and showed them what it looks like if we're not out here? Like, why is Sorensen the deep third safety? Like, what?
It's formational. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu was pretty blunt and being like, yep, they got us. Oh, that's the formation? Oh, yep. Why is the ball so high in the air right now? Oh, my goodness.
Yep, second week in a row, and I know we've got a ton of ground to cover, but I'll just say this. Second week in a row that the Chiefs, in my opinion, were thoroughly outcoached. 2 weeks in a row that's happened to them. And you know what? I don't say that lightly. I'm normally the guy saying, "Ah, oh, that's just you know, that's just an easy thing to blame." But let me just tell you, last week, the Patriots baited the Chiefs into killing into some runs that they really shouldn't have, and knew exactly where they were going with the ball. This week, man, Andy, stop running the ball on first down. Like, stop it. Stop it.
Yeah, this one was bad.
And like, it wasn't even
the tendency.
Yeah, the tendencies. Yeah. They've got them on the tendencies. And they also, they went in there knowing the Chiefs didn't expect them to attack the ball down the field, and the Chiefs didn't adjust until it was too late. And they did. They barely even adjusted, honestly. So there's a lot to talk about there. But yeah, they got them, and they got them multiple times. They caught them in some familiar formations. And I mean, just think of it this way. When Mahomes threw the ball down the field to Hill, even the ones that were complete, that was a bogus hole. That was a bogus hold call on that first drive. But whatever, it happens. They still should have won. Do you notice there were defenders around him constantly? When was the last time you saw, like, it happened once, McCole Hardman, right? Against, you know, where you
Ravens,
saw a guy that, against the Ravens, you saw a guy that wide open. Like, you saw with the Ravens, what, seven times? Eight times? So,
because they had two defensive backs on the field because everyone else was chasing Patrick Mahomes and failing at it.
Yeah, it was bad.
There's so many places that I think we can start. Seth has already written about the pass protection up in the Chief of the North newsletter. That's literally already out. We're recording this the night of, which we haven't done yet this year because we had a noon game, which was like felt just like an absolute marathon. A lot of points. I guess we'll do that to you. I mean, you mentioned the adjusting on the defensive side. Like, if you would have told me, hey, 24-24 at halftime, where are you putting your money? I would have felt still pretty good about the Chiefs. I thought, well, there's no way that they're going to let Derek Carr do that again? again? Are you serious?
Derek Carr, a man who walked into Arrowhead Stadium winless and walked out of there with a victory that nobody saw coming. Can I just read for you some stats, fellas?
Yeah. I'd love that.
Ladies and gentlemen, these are presented to you by Next Gen Stats. It's not going to be pretty. They tracked that Derek Carr, who was known for not passing the ball deep, had 177 yards accounted where he threw the ball deep. All of those yards were before halftime. Those are the most yards, again, 177 deep in the air.
Good Lord.
He had not had a game like that in the past five seasons for a complete game. Not a half. A complete game. He did that in the first half. Secondly, as I wrote last week in The Athletic, the secondary play has been phenomenal, but based on formation, a lack of awareness, as Seth sort of alluded to, using your tendencies against you, Derek Carr completed 12 of 14 attempts for 234 yards and three touchdowns on passes in the middle of the field. The easiest place to pass the football. Directly in front of you. 12 of 14, 234, three touchdowns. No quarterback this season, not named Derek Carr, has had a such game this year, according to Next Gen Stats.
Oh, my gosh. In the middle of the field. Which, by the way, if you want to talk about, like, this is such a bizarre game. The middle of the field that they shut down against MVP Lamar Jackson,
Loves to throw in the middle of the field.
He is a better thrower in the middle of the field than Derek Carr, especially down the field. And people can say all they want, well, Jackson's a limited passer. He's got stuff to work on. But you know why Jackson looked bad against the Chiefs? Because they blanked the middle of the field. And I know every time I say it that way, Josh thinks it's funny. But there was nothing open in the middle of the field. Instead, this time, guys were running so wide open that it became funny. Like, funny in, like, that way where, like, certain things are funny that really shouldn't be funny. Like, the other day, my son Cole, who's kind of a sensitive kid, was sprinting away from me, and he kind of, like, tripped a little bit and then hit a bookshelf that plummeted him into the arms of the couch and bounced his face off it like a friggin' cartoon character. And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. So I dropped down behind the couch to pretend I wasn't laughing because he was hurt. Not, like, injured, but he was hurt. He wasn't okay. okay. And like, as a parent, the rule is you got to check to see if they're okay before you laugh. So it was
before, right.
Yeah. And I broke that rule. That was on me. So I just dropped out of sight. I was gone. My wife was just left twisting in the wind, trying not to laugh herself. And he's okay, everyone. Like, you don't need to call child protection. He's all right. But it was
as long as one of your eyes is still in your head, you can pretty much see fun.
Yeah. And so it was funny like that, where it's just like they know how to defend Derek Carr. They've done it successfully a zillion times, but now they're like, hey, you know what we ought to do? We ought to put Dan Sorensen in man coverage against Waller. That'll probably work out well. Hey, what we ought
and
to
he
do?
He got clunked. Oh. My child is trying to sleep right now. Yeah. But ladies and gentlemen, when a DB turns his back to the quarterback and the receiver while the receiver's running an inside route, we don't need to run the play no more. First down. Okay. Yeah. Like, Derek, you ain't even got to release the ball. Darren Waller, you got to stop running, sir. That's a
It's like a putt.
That's a
it's
first
a putt.
Down.
It's a 2-foot putt. No, just pick it up. Let's go. Let's go to the next one.
Like, everybody in the secondary had their worst game. Let's not forget Tre'Davious Ward, who, you know, arguably one of the better quarterbacks in the whole league last year based on, like, production towards their salary. Man, did he get cooked. God, was he toast. He was
it was
blackened toast. And Steve Spagnuolo was like, Nate, I can't.
Nate, he was Tre'Davious Ward. You said the toast. I could not say the thing.
I mean, who's more toast right now? Tre'Davious Ward or the Miami Heat? Anyway.
Let me hit previous channel button because they're about to go to halftime in the NFL game. Oh, the Heat are probably not close. It's at a commercial. I don't know.
So Steve Spagnuolo's like, love you, dog. I don't think it's the hand issue, really, even though, you know, Andy Reid did his best to be like, yeah, the hand was giving him some problems. So was everything else.
Gruden pantsed Spagnuolo.
He had to put Tre'Davious Ward on the field just for third downs. Like, just for third downs, and where can we cover him? Where can we put him that's not, you know, Henry Ruggs? So, I mean, Tyrann Mathieu was pretty quick in saying that, like, he's motivated. He has clearly looked at the calendar, and he has circled the rematch against the Raiders. Because he was as hot as I've seen him since about the loss to the Houston Texans last year, where they just got ran over by Carlos Hyde, of all people. but, like, he was really mad. Chris Jones was more, like, reserved in the understanding that, like, yeah, they beat us, and it sucks, and I guess we'll need to be better next time. But for the secondary, you couldn't find a worse group, and that's saying a lot considering I know the group that Seth wants to talk about on the Chiefs roster.
Let's stick on the defense just because we're kind of working from the back forwards, because the one thing that I want to get your guys' thoughts on, we're doing this show so soon after that I have no idea what you guys thought about it. This is kind of weird, but one of the things I think we've said pretty frequently about the Chiefs secondary, and it's also the thing that, I mean, like, Seth and I were talking about this on my radio show like a year, 2 years ago, just like team building strategies of like that pass defense holds more from that it's more indicative of success. If you have a good pass defense, you're more likely to actually have defensive success as opposed to pass rush, better coverage grades or whatever. But we've since kind of gotten to the point where, like, well, clearly Brett Veach and at least Steve Spagnuolo, they've decided, hey, we're going to pay our pass rushers, and we think that's going to make our secondary better. And for 4 weeks this season and for a good chunk of last year, that worked. Whenever Frank Clark and Chris Jones get to the quarterback, it makes the secondary's job easier. This is not an indictment or a validation of the strategy or whatever, but specifically in this game, I think it's the quietest Frank Clark Chris Jones combo game I've maybe ever seen with both of them
Absolutely.
Healthy at the same time.
Yes. Yeah, shout out to the Raiders offensive line, which I know will maybe help us piggyback into the thing that I need to rant about.
For
but
sure.
Like, they did a great job. I mean, there was Carr had a lot of time to throw. He had a lot of time to sit back at the top of his drop and just survey the field. And look, Derek Carr, when he has time, he can throw the ball. He's a poor man's Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr is. Which, you know, that sounds like quite the insult.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, so he's broke, huh?
Well, he's but I mean, look, Kirk Cousins can play. If you get Kirk Cousins behind a good offensive line, he will sling the ball all day, man.
Most NFL quarterbacks with time will look good. I think that's fair,
I mean,
right?
I mean, even above, think of it this way. Like, think like, you're young for this, but maybe think Trent Green with protection
I'm aware of Trent Green's work.
Well, I know, but I don't know if you watch him week in and week out. The moment, like, so Trent Green is going to be better than most quarterbacks would be behind a really good offensive line because he's a really good thrower. All right? Mm-hmm. And then Derek Carr can throw the ball a little bit, but when you give him all day to survey, and again, when you have breakdowns in the secondary, I viewed this every now and then, like, you can almost talk about, like, what it was with the Ravens and the Chiefs. Andy Reid just completely pants John Harbaugh and his staff a few weeks ago. And this is what you saw happen to Spagnuolo. I mean, they weren't ready for this. They weren't ready for the fact that maybe Clark and Jones would just not get a lot of pressure. Because how often does that happen? Yeah. Like,
it was both of them. Sometimes I feel like it's one of them, but like you can kind of have some sort of a thought of like, well, they're paying more attention to whoever.
Right.
Today, it just felt like none of them were getting. I remember Chris Jones hit Carr's arm once.
Once, yeah.
And that's the only thing I remember distinctly from both of them. There could have been more stuff. That's what I remember.
Yeah, Tano Pasanio had the most productive day because he batted a ball down.
Yep.
Frank Clark had a couple times where he used a speed rush to get Derek Carr off the top of his drop or the, you know, to sort of, hey, I'm here. And like, you know, I'm here. Problem was the other three people or on one of the touchdowns that Derek Carr threw, like perfectly, mind you, was Clark uses a, Frank Clark uses a speed rush. The blitz is coming from the opposite end. So he kind of projects that like, he like Derek Carr's going to float my way. Right. Mm-hmm. No, the Raiders pick up the blitz perfectly. He drops a dime. It's a touchdown. And it's just one of those days where it's just like, yep, the other team, as you guys are both saying, just was better prepared. Look, the Raiders, and I'm not saying anything like super controversial here. The Raiders need this game more.
Oh, it's yes.
Just, it's just simple as that. Like, in terms of the two teams and where they're going and what the end of the road means for both of these teams, we presume. The Raiders need this game more. The Raiders desperately want to compete for a playoff spot in their first season in Las Vegas. Can they get the seventh seed? That's the only thing this year comes down to. In order to get to a playoffs, you have to win some divisional games. It's just like, it would be stupid not to. The Chiefs have dominated the division. The Raiders were as healthy as they've been since about, I don't know, 3 weeks or so, based on Ruggs and Trent Brown coming back. But they needed this more. They played as if they needed this more. They ran schemes and plays to further prove that they needed this game more. And on the other side of the ball, the Chiefs played well to start on offense, and then it kind of crumbled, like possession after possession after possession, once a notable player went down. And you can guess which one of the two you think I'm mentioning. But the Raiders need this game more. And the Chiefs were never going to go undefeated. I have yet to make that claim. I have yet to ever believe that that was going to happen. They were going to lose at some point. October, most notably, is Andy Reid's kind of, you know, fluky month. Because, you know, hey, he's out in front of coaches for like 4 weeks, guys. Until they like pick things up. Like, hey, they may run the ball on first down. But the Raiders needed this game more. The Chiefs will go through an October that we've usually become accustomed to. The question is, can they, you know, make this a one, you know, can they make this a one game situation versus like a 3 or 4? And for all the things that have occurred in this game, I still feel like the Raiders understood perfectly that a mini part of their season was today. For the Chiefs, it was literally just another game. Despite the rivalry, despite all the COVID stuff, like, as Josh mentioned, it's okay for them to look ahead from a humanistic standpoint. Now, fans, you know, a derivative of fanatic, wants the team to win all the time. I get you, dog. Right. I understand you, girl.
They haven't lost since last November.
Right.
It's been 330 some days.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. It's like, it's... The Raiders were better, and they had to be better to win today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Well, and they weren't just better. Like, key things happened at key times. Because a few calls went against the Raiders that kind of mattered. But a few, and look, let me just add a caveat. Don't blame the refs for this. The Chiefs' defense was lousy. There are Chiefs players on social media right now. Mecole Hardman just tweeted that he played terrible. Kelce tweeted that he's got to be better.
He did. I'll confirm that. He did. Because, again, when a certain player went out of the game that some people thought he was replaceable in free agency, first sample size was awful.
Yeah. It was not, I mean, there's a reason why later in the game you got Byron Pringle out there. Like, Hardman had a chance here, and there were some things the Raiders were able to do in coverage that, again, I know we'll get to soon, but, like, it was tough, man. It was a bad game. And it was just, and it's kind of funny, in a bad game, they put up like 31 or 32 points or 32 whatever.
32 points, yep.
32 points, it was a bad game. And there were some crucial calls that could have gone either way that, like, against the Patriots, went their way, right? Some of those really crucial calls. Like, you know, that hold in that first drive, which turned out to be more important than we could have thought, right? That's a pretty weak call. I think you'd call that a snatch trap technique by Osamele. And
are they assimilating? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then, man, what a beautiful throw that got wasted, too. Right?
Oh, it was gorgeous.
It was so beautiful.
That's why that's the only reason that one hurts. That one only hurts because it was like, oh, that might have been. That's going to be in Seth's next best throws that didn't count article, which will come out tomorrow, probably.
And Seth has made this point before where it's like the butterfly effect of an NFL game or just, you know, any football game where if the ref either doesn't see it or is a second late and is like, maybe I'm not going to throw the flag because, like, I got seven other of my refereeing crews, and if they don't see anything, they're like, we just keep it good. If that play is a touchdown, who's to say Osamele finishes the game? Because two plays later, he's trying to chase down a defender to make a block for, I believe, Patrick Mahomes scrambling, and it all goes to hell. His knees essentially give out. Injury sort of said that I'm going to make sure I get this right. He tore a tendon in both knees.
Yeah, he's not going to practice here.
Yeah, and he said it like, you know, two tendons in both knees. But I think what he was trying to say is a tendon in each one of his knees. The right knee, I think, is worse based on the replay and what the training staff was attending to in the immediate before he was carted off. But a tendon in both knees, like, man, that is just unfortunate, and God, it sucks. But if that 58-yard touchdown is indeed a touchdown to Tyreek Hill, Osamele's on, you know, Kalichi Osamele's on the sidelines, and he gets ready for the next drive, and who knows what goes on from there because of the whole butterfly ripple effect that Seth likes to use.
Absolutely, and you see that constantly. You see that, you know, you got a deep touchdown or really a deep ball that to Hill. I you know, there were a couple where they got there, you could say right on time, you could say a little bit early, and it changes everything, you know, because football is such a situational game that individual games, they really, like, one play, butterfly affects everything. But really, the Chiefs, it wasn't just that. Big plays just didn't go their way. One of the plays, Nick Kizer, Kizer, he's got a
send
great
a prayer.
Last name.
Ricky Seals Jones, healthy scratch, five straight weeks. I'm wondering.
And Kizer can block, and Ricky Seals Jones, let me tell you, I've watched some of his film.
Yeah.
And unless that's different now, Deion Yelder.
Maybe it's just Yelder. Maybe it's just Yelder. Come on, Deion.
That's the one that surprises me, is how is Deion Yelder on the field when I don't know he's provided much both in pass or in blocking, where at least you could say Travis Kelce's superstar. You know, Nick Kizer, great in run blocking in short yardage situations. Think of the Tyreek Hill touchdown run where he wipes away a Raider on the perimeter so that Tyreek Hill can score. As I tweeted, Nick Kizer has never been running on the field and been like, oh, I'm not open. Oh, the play's still going on? Oh, there's Patrick. Yep. Oh, I'll just shade over here. Oh, he's throwing me the football.
Yeah, which that would have been one of my, yeah, it's just like, like there is internal screaming.
Like in the press box, and I was at the stadium today, again, wearing my mask, doing the best I can. One of the true benefits is getting the All 22 in live, and you could just tell he was kind of doing the thing you're taught to do. Hey, kind of shade, find an opening, find a window. Why is he throwing me the football?
Yeah,
and it was a dive. And he just wasn't ready for the velocity.
That was such a good throw. That was going to be added to the classics. That's the thing that gets lost in this game. Mahomes threw some dimes this game. Like, it reminded me in part of like the Tennessee loss last year because of that. Because Mahomes was playing well. This wasn't a game Mahomes played particularly poorly.
No.
They just beat him. Oakland just beat him. They outcoached him. They were ready. This is the whole. Remember, you play Tecmo Bowl, and if they hit A1 and you hit A1, it doesn't matter how good you are at Tecmo Bowl. It doesn't matter if you got Bo. Well, it matters if you got Bo.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say, are you the one playing against Bo on the schedule?
Yeah, if you, but I mean, that it was just too many times the Raiders had the perfect look dialed up to beat the Chiefs defense, and vice versa wasn't true. And the Chiefs just didn't make those biggest plays. Because that Nick Kizer drop, right? That puts the Chiefs on first and 10,
near midfield,
with 4 minutes to go, up 4 instead of punting back, and the Raiders scored a touchdown there. It altered the entire complexion of the game. It allowed the Raiders to go into, man, we're going to let Jacobs run the ball 30 times in the second half, or however many it was, and they just got in the position where all they needed was a few plays, right? And the more random you can make a game, the more it favors the worst team. And look, the Raiders are the worst team, but they gave the Chiefs their best shot. And the Chiefs played like a 65-70% game. And you can't get away with that every week. You just can't.
It's a C-minus game. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a C-minus game. And look, they beat the Texans with like a B-minus game, and they beat them easily.
Was the Ravens game a A-minus, maybe?
The Ravens game was like an A game, and where they just, and maybe down the stretch they coasted a little too much. But this was bound to happen eventually. The Raiders have a good offense, and man, they just pantsed them. They just took them and just completely, they just weren't ready for what they were doing. But it really was one of those games where you saw them outcoached. But you could see the difference in the two offenses when Carr dropped back to pass versus when Mahomes dropped back to pass.
Go ahead and take it, Seth.
We're in
go
range.
Here's the baton. Pull up, Seth. Pull up.
So I, on the Chief of the North newsletter, I have released an available for everyone reading this to read article about the fact.
Well, people are listening to this. If you're reading this podcast, I don't know how.
Pulled up and got an air ball, but they touched the ball last, so we inbounded the ball, and I get it back.
You bricked it. I went up. I pulled it down. I did a little shimmy so the camera would see me. Then I kicked it back out to you. Pull up again.
What an offensive rebound by my guy, Josh Briscoe. Here's the deal. The Chiefs for years have gotten away with leaving their tackles on islands. And their pass protection, while it hasn't been great, it's been pretty good. Right? They've had a few weak spots, maybe one weak spot along the line every year. But nothing too terrible. Even last year, during the middle of the year, when it wasn't very good on the interior, it was still excellent on the edges, and they pulled it together on the interior. The Raiders were able to beat the Chiefs often enough on defense the same way the Los Angeles Chargers did. And that's not good. Because if you go back and watch the film, snap after snap, 3 rushers or 4 rushers. So they were getting pressure with 3 rushers, and leaving a guy in there to shadow Mahomes. You can't win football games like that. I don't care how talented you are. On a couple of crucial downs, if you go back and watch, they were rushing three guys and getting pressure in under 2.5 seconds. You can't win football games like that, because even with tremendous weapons and scheme like the Chiefs have, if you've got three guys rushing, one guy shadowing, that means you've got seven guys in coverage. It doesn't matter how good they are, if they, how good your weapons are.
Was reading a statistic and lost my phone. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
We're fumbling everywhere. I'm sorry.
That was funny. No, you can't.
Max, go ahead. I was going to roll right through. You know, Max Crosby had a nice spin move to sack. Okay, go ahead.
Just pick it up, Seth.
Yep. It doesn't matter how good your weapons are. You can't, against seven guys dropping into a good disciplined zone, you can't run open in under 2 seconds. You need time to find those open zones, and they're not getting them this year. Guys, Mitch Schwartz, you know, against the Chargers, it's like, look, it's the Chargers. Against J.J. Watt, man, it was J.J. Watt. The Patriots run a funky scheme. The Raiders borrowed from what the Patriots and the Chargers did, and they were able to make it work. And here's the thing. What's the template to slow down, not beat, because you can't beat them, and they still put up 32 points. The template to slow down the Chiefs offense is you get pressure with three or four guys consistently and quickly, and you drop seven guys into a decent zone and play disciplined. The only problem is no teams could pull it off, right? Because you need a Bosa and an Armstead and a Buckner. and you need multiple elite rushers, right? That's why the Chargers give them problems, because they've got three really, really good pass rushers. Except this isn't the Niners. And this isn't the Chargers. Mm-hmm. This is the Las Vegas Raiders, whose pass rush coming in, we were all like, they exist. Mm-hmm. And they made them look good. The tackles lost early and often. The interior line lost early and often. When they lost Kelechi, man, that they took the air out of their sails. They'll figure something out. Andy Reid's still Andy Reid. Patrick Mahomes still Patrick Mahomes. But I got to tell you, they've trusted their tackles to play well. And read the article, okay? Because there's play after play that I show there. They were keeping Sherman in to help block on a shot play, and they got four guys rushing against six pass blockers, and there was still pressure in under 2.5 seconds. You can't win football games like that. You can't consistently move the ball like that, even if you have Patrick Mahomes. And what that allowed the Raiders to do was slow him down just enough so that apparently Derek Carr could rain fire from above on the Chiefs' defense. And I don't know, guys. I'm a little concerned, because when it's the Raiders doing it, every team's going to be trying to do that from here on out.
Couple things to add to what Seth was saying. When the Raiders understood that Tyreek Hill was either going to go, and this is a tendency thing again, Tyreek Hill, when running motion, means a certain thing. When Tyreek Hill is not in motion, also means a thing. One of the benefits of watching this live and not on my couch, the Chiefs did not adjust with either A, crossing routes, B, anything in the intermediate zone outside of Travis Kelce, which again, the Raiders had already been keen on and played just better in the second half. Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman ran routes that you're going to see on all 22 that don't make sense. And this is before you get to like third and 20 situations. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid put some trust in the offensive line without Osimile in the lineup, without Sammy Watkins, and just expected Patrick Mahomes to have 4 seconds to throw the ball deep. Mm-hmm. The Raiders blanketed them. And as I say that, it is wild to say. But Tyreek Hill ran routes in the second half that were not adjustable, and he didn't blow by the Raiders' safeties, because as I asked Patrick after the game, they played further back, and Patrick confirmed that. Like, the safeties played a lot farther back.
Yep.
They were getting pressure without having to blitz, and the Chiefs didn't adjust their route concepts, where they were trying to go for home runs instead of just actively moving the football down the field. And this comes to a point where I know Clyde Edwards-Helaire's name will be brought up, because he's supposed to be like an outlet for this certain scenario. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce was pretty hard on himself despite the you know, the statistical production and the fact that, like, he did catch the Chiefs' last touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
But as I wrote in The Athletic, it's one thing for Patrick to scramble, extend plays, improvise, to give his receivers just that extra second or two to get open so that the advantage is always on the Chiefs' side. It is another thing when Patrick Mahomes is having to scramble, evade rushers, improvise,
yep,
get creative, extend, because he's running for his life and his receivers are too far downfield. That yes. occurred multiple times.
Yep.
Particularly in the fourth quarter when they found out, hey, y'all, we can't run on first down. So
yep.
they didn't adjust. It is a coaching situation with Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid, and the understanding, too, that, like, if you can cover them deep, maybe Patrick Mahomes, from a mental standpoint, he doesn't snap, but he gives into the idea that, like, I can fit it in there. I can fit it in there. Mm-hmm. And then the protection doesn't hold up, and so he's scrambling in a crumbled pocket, and it doesn't make much sense to move the ball that way. So they had one really, really bad half because Sammy Watkins wasn't on the field. The offensive line stunk, and Patrick Mahomes didn't have people to throw the ball to easily that weren't named Darrell Williams.
Right. That was, man, you really nailed something there in terms of those route combinations and stuff. Here's what's interesting to me, and I know Josh right now, I don't know if you know this, but Josh and I are in an empty basketball arena right now. And it's an empty arena, and I'm standing kind of underneath the hoop on one end. And Josh just walked in to the – now I want you to picture the biggest basketball arena you've ever been in. Josh, I could barely even see him, just kind of walked in. I heard the door open across the arena. You know those really loud arena doors, right? And I looked, and I heard the footsteps echoing in the empty gym. And I see, who is that there? It's Josh. It's off in the distance. Is he holding a basketball? I'm going to worry about that in a minute. Looks like he's getting closer. But for now, those route combinations are an interesting thing because Tyreek Hill is a guy you can trust to run those routes, like the ones that Sammy does, these adjusting routes. And they just weren't, like you said, they just didn't adjust to having Sammy be out. They thought the line will hold up. We're going to push the ball down the field. And the line couldn't hold up, and they just didn't adjust in time. They didn't say, okay, because Tyreek, we've seen Tyreek burn teams intermediate and shallow. We've seen it. And it just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And Sammy matters for this team because you either – what they're going to probably do, I'm guessing, depending on whether Sammy's out for a while, you're going to see Hill run a lot more of those routes, and you're going to see Hardman running a lot more of these take the top off. They've done it before, right, and been very successful. Right. But they just didn't adjust mid-game here, and you treated Tyreek Hill like he was just a deep threat, and while he's an incredible deep threat, he is so much more than that. And that is a really great observation there. But and that just goes to the coaching thing. You just saw the very rare – this is the life most Chiefs fans lead every week, seeing their coach kind of get outfoxed. I'll be honest, Reed and Spagnuolo both really had a tough game here. And Mahomes, his brilliance was one of the few reasons why they started to get into it at the end. And just on the side note with Edwards-Helaire, for one, just because you have Edwards-Helaire, who's a good player, doesn't mean running the ball on first down is a good idea. Man, why? Man, Josh is walking down onto the court now. Interesting. All right, so just because you've got a player that is a good player, that doesn't mean you should run the ball on first down, because you know why? It's not a good idea. Also, like half, at least, no, more than half at this point, because I remember I charted this earlier. It hasn't changed since then. Most of Edwards-Helaire's targets so far have been like one that I put up on Twitter where Mahomes has a defender in his face immediately, right? So he throws a panic check down. It's the only thing he can do. And Edwards-Helaire has to make an incredible move in the open field to gain 4 whole yards. That's not winning offense. And the pass pro has to be better or they've got to change their game plan, which I'm sure they're capable of doing, but it's bad. Nate, I got to tell you, I've noticed Josh has now walked to half court and is staring me down, holding that ball. Yeah. I feel like something's about to happen to me, Nate.
Huh. I don't know.
Right now, you just hear thump, 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 thump. I'm at the top of the key right now. Thump, 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 thump. My feet are on the free throw line. I just picked up the ball. Hold on. I'm shooting a free throw. The ball's in midair, and hey, Seth, the Chiefs offense isn't better with Clyde right now. Swish. And then I just leave the ball there. The ball just under the basket.
Wow.
And I put my towel around my neck and I'm just walking back to the door.
Man.
I laced him up and everything, but I'm just heading back over to the door. I'm going over to the bench. I'm going to take off my Jordans. I'm going to put on just some slides because I don't want to wear these kicks outside.
Man, somehow
I'm just shooting free throws.
Somehow the lack of a dunk makes it even more of a dunk, and I wasn't even aware that was possible. Oh man, that was oddly terrifying. I'm going to be honest. I really let myself live in that moment. I was like, okay, this is
going
to a happy place. Look, here's the deal. The Chiefs took Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round. And Josh, you and I talked about this before the show. You know, I was always like, I won't be mad if they take a running back. Should they have maybe taken a guard? Maybe. Would a wide receiver? I mean, at that point, you're dealing with like the seventh best wide receiver. I don't know. But what you see here is one of the problems that I think Josh has been alluding to a lot. And that's right. Right now, I'm picking up that ball. I'm going to go shoot in my own hoop for you, Josh. I'm doing this.
This is crazy.
One of the things.
I'm sitting on the bench now. I've got a slight glisten, but I'm holding my bag, but I haven't left yet.
I'm gonna hold my face underneath the hoop and dunk on myself. This is about to happen. So here's the deal. With running backs, with a running back in the first round, they are very situationally dependent. And one of the things that I said, this is the way that the Clyde Edwards-Helaire pick would work out, right? If situationally, he took a great offense and added a cherry on top that made it even better, right? The problem is that depends on all the other areas of the offense functioning, okay? Because when the other areas of the offense aren't functioning, running back is not a position that can generally drag a non-functional offense to functional. Now, look, did Edwards-Helaire make a few really nice plays to gain additional yardage? Sure, right? Let's say maybe if the defense had gotten a stop late in the fourth, we would be talking about, man, that, you know, down the left sideline where he gained an extra 15 yards, blah, 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 blah. But the problem is those are opportunities that matter if the rest of the offense is playing well. When you start having issues, running back can't alter that. And that's where the big issue behind running back can lie, is that you can't move the needle if other things aren't going well. And with that in mind, I would just say that maybe, just maybe, them picking Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round, maybe it wasn't the way they should have gone. All right, I got to go for the night, guys. I hope you enjoy finding things to talk about. Later.
An unspectacular move by Seth Kaiser!
He's both parts of the poster, I think? What?
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 Wow.
How does that even work?
Wow. You've won, Josh. You've won.
I feel like I just put an infinity stone in my gauntlet. I feel like I just got a jolt of power through my body. I'm just sort of looking around. I'm waiting to see, is Seth at my door? Is this punk?
Is this real life?
Is this real life? I'm counting my fingers. I can see I'm pinching myself.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, look, I mean, Seth is legitimately gone, so I won't say this to him as much as kind of toss it to you. But the other thing that I do think that we talked about, like, early on in the draft process and everything was the idea of even, like, being able to set some amount of, like, well, we can do this and, like, this will be there. Like you said earlier, Nate, I thought that was going to be Clyde in the passing game. And,
yeah.
Like, whenever you have, and I seriously would love for you to expand more on the Sammy Watkins thing, because that's still legitimately confusing to me. Like, why they have such a hard time kind of adjusting for his, this is not a joke or supposed to be mean-spirited, but, like, for his regularly scheduled three-week absence, right? Like, it's not like they've never run this offense without him.
Right.
And it seemed to me, like, at least to some extent, like, put Clyde out in the slot and see what he can do out there. And it's just,
I know,
they haven't tried it yet.
They used to run, look, when I first started covering this team, they used to let Spencer Ware Yeah. Motion out of the backfield and shotgun and be an additional receiver. And, like, he could catch the ball. Spencer Ware, when healthy, pretty good. I don't understand. Now, some of the screens are getting a little bit more telegraphed, which other teams are starting to pick up on, which I've sort of noticed now, particularly watching today from the press box. But for Clyde, I thought they'd really pick out, okay, who's the linebacker we're just going to put in hell today?
I think Seth would say this also. That was the best argument for the pick, which is we're gonna torture a linebacker today.
Yeah, and they just haven't done it. I don't know if they're holding this back for later, if they're trying to polish these certain plays in practice before you put them out there. It doesn't. Again, they haven't lost a game since November 10th, guys. And even that game, chalk that up to God, because they weren't supposed to lose that game, no way. So, like, the problem here is that, okay, if Mecole Hardman can't run intermediate routes, which, gonna be real, folks, what evidence do we have to suggest he can run an intermediate route correctly?
Yeah, that's a diplomatic of you.
So, and he, and I think in a honest moment, he would say that that's something he needs to work on. Most second year wide receivers would honestly tell you it's something they need to work on. It's much easier to use your speed to go downfield to catch the ball on a deep pass. Much easier to do that. His timing routes, they're okay. They're useful for an NFL offense. If he's running deep routes, because that's what he's most proficient in, and Tyreek Hill is running deep routes because you think we can just treat this like last year against the Raiders, which I don't know, kids. You just throw the ball deep to Tyreek Hill. It worked for like a half.
It worked.
So if those two guys are running deep and there's no Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce is like your one guy in the middle of the field operating, but because it's what Seth alluded to, the offensive line was just getting mauled out there in the second half. Clyde Edwards-Helaire either needs to be in there for max pass protection purposes or needs to be in there to make some defender make a decision that they are uncomfortable making. And I'm interested to see how that looks against the Bills if the Chiefs go and make that sort of adjustment, or if they make that, you know, if they want to add that wrinkle to the offense. I honestly feel like for Clyde, they want him to be so much of a runner because he's clearly the best running back they have in terms of actually running the football. The Eric Bieniemy has made that decision. That has been clear as day to me. Darwin Thompson fumbled. We haven't seen DeAndre Washington yet, even though he just got promoted to the active roster. Darrell Williams, third down back. That's who he is right now. That's his role.
I was gonna ask, so I wanted to ask about that some, because you mentioned like having Clyde in for like max pass protect. I am doing a little bit of just like what I saw on the broadcast and what I think I know, but Daryl's out there on third down a lot.
Again, you're gonna have to make some guys uncomfortable, whether that's a rookie that you're trying to, you know, spread out his snaps over a course of a 16 season when you expect to be playing in 17, 18, and 19. These are the hard decisions that they're going to have to make. Sammy Watkins is good for this reason. He catches the ball at a very high level, particularly passes that aren't even, like, on target. It's the ones that are on target that are a little hard for him. Sammy's great with hands. He has seen every defense known to man. So he knows how to make himself available for Patrick Mahomes, particularly in the scramble drill and in the second read option. And that's the problem. Sometimes Tyreek Hill is the primary receiver. Everybody knows that. Sometimes Travis Kelce will be like, we want to make this defender make this decision, and we think Travis will make the most of these yards available to him. When those are taken away, Sammy Watkins is like the literal best number two NFL wide receiver option you can have when looking off somewhere to come back to him. When he's not on the field, it's just honestly clear to day. Look at the third down snaps. If an initial read is not there and Patrick knows pressure is already on its way, he really doesn't trust a secondary read if Tyreek Hill's running already 25 yards down the field. So that's where Sammy is so valuable, and because he can break tackles if he makes a catch in the open field. He's a really good blocker, which nobody like really looks at. But like, hey, if you want to make a 7-yard gain, an 11-yard gain, you know, a wide receiver who can block is really helpful. That's why DeMarcus Robinson has real value on this offense, along with Byron Pringle when he's on the field. But as Seth alluded to, it's interesting that like Pringle came onto the field and the broadcasters were like, whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, has he had any snaps? And it's like, well, no, that Byron Pringle is Sammy Watkins 2.0. It's just they're going to have to use him more if Sammy's not available for the Buffalo Bills. And I'm preparing you, Chiefs fan, in case Mecole Hardman's snap count stays roughly the same. Because it's clear now. Maybe he needs another year. I wonder of all the guys on the team, particularly on offense, if he struggled the most or if he had the most to gain from the actual offseason program on the field with Patrick, understanding when they do this, shade a little bit more here. When they do that, come back to the ball. Okay, the first window's not there. How do you get to the second window between defenders for me to fit you the ball? Like, it's just clear to me that, like, this is no shade to Mecole. It's just this is the reality. Like, he's not refined. It's going to take longer than people thought it would take for him to become a more polished player. As I wrote in The Athletic, Sammy Watkins, interestingly enough, when he's on the field, finishing the game, like, or playing the majority of his snaps, the Chiefs are 26-4. He did not play the majority of his snaps. They lost today. When they had their little, you know, issue in December of 2018, Sammy Watkins wasn't on the field. When they lost to the Indianapolis Colts, Sammy Watkins wasn't on the field. Like, it's a real thing. He is that much important in the postseason because guess what teams do? They take away your primary option half the time.
Yeah.
Even for guys as talented as Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, which is why it's always comfortable for Patrick to say, that guy is a professional route runner who knows exactly where to be even when it's not for him. Or when Logan Ryan falls down in the middle of the field, he can also run his tail off deep and I can throw him a ball and we can go to the Super Bowl. These things get lost in the offseason contract years, but they do reveal themselves in October. And this is twice now, you know, 2 years in a row.
I think that's an excellent breakdown, and it still does leave like one sort of void that I actually think I probably saw on Twitter and I'm now stealing and bringing here. But like, I think the gist of whatever I saw on Twitter was essentially saying, if the offense starts sort of losing itself a little bit whenever it merely has the best offensive mind in football drawing up things for the best quarterback in football, the best tight end in football, and like a top three receiver in football, with a first round draft pick, running back, et cetera, et cetera. Whenever that offense, it starts to look discernibly different without Sammy Watkins, that's a bad sign. And I'm not saying that it's apocalyptic, but I think I agree with that. That like, I would like to believe that there was an option that's a little worse than having Sammy Watkins on the field, but that it's not night and day obvious.
Yeah. Or you go into the whole point of like, okay, we got to get more Travis plays out there. We got to get more Tyreek Hill plays. And the defense kind of knows that because you're limiting the amount of plus players to put plays in front of to, you know, enhance their abilities. Somebody's going to have to step up. I mean, it's weird to say because like you're saying, best, one of the best head coaches, best quarterback in football,
it's just,
best
it's
tight
weird.
End from a receiving standpoint by far. And, you know, one of just the still the fastest player in the league, although, man, Henry Ruggs, watch out. You know, like, it is weird to say all of that. But again, the trenches matter. And if this offensive line can't get it together, and if, you know, it's funny that, like, Osimile will be lost, probably. I'm speculating now, but I'm assuming he'll be done for the year. It would probably be safe for his health long-term if he didn't play football this year. So let's assume he's out. He will get memorialized football-wise in a way that I think is not quite accurate because his best game was against the Houston Texans. And this is where I'll argue with Seth. Mm-hmm. Have we seen the Houston Texans? They're trash.
Yeah, man. Yep.
Like, they're trash. Like, he had a down game against the Chargers. Completely understandable. Right. Okay. He played his ass off against the Ravens. like everybody mm-hmm. else on that offense. So give him one there. That was his best game. Kind of came back to earth with the stunts, the weird things that the Patriots do. Again, completely understandable.
Sure.
He will be praised in a way that is like, it's cool, fine, but it's not accurate. He wasn't great. He was fine. Yeah. Mike Remmers was legitimately great alongside the Ravens game and taking the spot for Andrew Wiley, who has come back mm-hmm. and has struggled.
Yes.
So if Andrew Wiley's struggling, Osimile's not here anymore.
Yeah.
And Mike Remmers, you know, in his first true start, not his first true start, but coming off the bench for the first time, really. Mm-hmm. Like, if he's struggling, where do we turn to? Because I think Nick Allegretti is, like, maybe the backup center, but they also have Daniel Kilgore, and, like, I haven't seen him. What we doing out here? So...
And it's not like Austin Ryder is like the keystone in the middle of the offensive line that you know is solid. Like he
has up
and, be struggling.
Yeah, he has up and downs too. Yep. So they're going to have to be deliberate with their shots. They can't just be free willy nilly now. At least that's I would mm-hmm. like if I was in the coaches meeting tomorrow and I grind through the tape. And there's, you know, saliva all over my mouth and I haven't slept. There's like bags under my bags. I would say...
Yeah, you look like Bill Belichick with the holes in the neck.
My sleeve. Anyway, boys, gentlemen, we got to be deliberate taking shots downfield, which is middle of the field plus side of the field. Can we get there first? And we can't, you know, everybody loves the 70-yard pass, but a lot of these got to go right, and the defense also has to make a mistake. And sometimes the defense doesn't make... as many mistakes as you would hope, even if they are a divisional opponent that you've been destroying for the last, you know, half decade. I wanted to make that point. And I think lastly for me, Josh, you know, other than, hey, these guys are human. It was bound to happen. Mm-hmm. 3 games in 11 days, kids. Not fun. Not fun in your body. Although they are pushing.
Not happening now, though. Oh, not right. happening now. Yeah, Monday, everybody. Although all they right, are cool. pushing. Monday it. At 4 p.m.
And this gives me to my point. We all thought if they went. Probably 2-3 in this stretch that like you would take it. You would walk and shake somebody's hand to be fine. They got to lose at some point. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if you need to go undefeated to get the number one seed in the AFC, we have much larger problems. So now they've got their full attention, right? I've been saying this that like, hey, if the Ravens got their full attention, we saw the result. Things are going to obviously be different because different players may be in the game. But now we're going to have a full attention. How do they adjust? How do they make things different? Here's my biggest adjustment outside of like, hey, take your shots at a more deliberate manner on offense. Here's my Stephen A. I love Ben Neiman. He has been like a child to me. I saw him from his first NFL days where I was like, who the hell is that? And oh, he went to Iowa. Then I saw him in training camp, and I was like, you know what? The guy is assignment sound, which we all know what that means from a coach standpoint. And then he balled out in the preseason, and I was like, you know what? Give this man a spot. His family's phenomenal. Yeah. I've interviewed them before. He is a very, very smart football player. He is like a souped-up version of Frank Zombo.
Souped up Frank Zombo. I had that on a bingo. Bingo. That was the last thing on my bingo card for today's show. I thought there's no chance. Souped up Frank Zombo.
What an
absolutely incredible phrase.
Thank you, sir.
Oh,
Josh, you know this. I know this. And now every other NFL team knows this.
Yeah.
Players can only do so much. Coaches can only scheme so much for players. The adjustment to the adjustment has made it clear. Ben Neiman will have better days. But of late, it's not going the way it went last year. Where last year, he was so sneaky good that it gets lost in the grand scheme of things. Because, you know, Patrick Mahomes. But guys, he was so sneaky good last year. And the two teams that have identified that he can't be sneaky good if we're going to win is the Chargers and the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder how many more of those teams will identify that if Anthony Hitchens has a legitimate injury, Ben Neiman is up. If Willie Gay has a legitimate injury, Ben Neiman's up. If Damian Wilson wasn't good mm-hmm. today at all, if he has an injury, Ben Neiman is the guy on the front line. So it's not Ben Neiman's fault. He has maximized his talent in a way that is awe-striking, admirable, and creatively brilliant. But teams are starting to notice the weakness, and it's the linebackers' play, particularly when Ben Neiman is forced to make difficult decisions that we thought the Chiefs would do with Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
At this point, I'm just glad that Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't white, because otherwise this whole show would have just been blaming white guys. It's just like Ben Neiman, Dan Sorensen, out of here.
Yeah.
Although, honestly, the interior offensive line, what are we doing? Uh-oh, once Osimile went down, oh no.
You know, when the white...
Oh no, it really is. It's the offensive line and Dan Sorensen and Ben Neiman. Oh no!
When the white DB starts giving up long TD passes, it is noticeable. It is noticeable. But hey, Ben Neiman, he got his Super Bowl ring, kids. Daniel Sorensen.
And he deserved it.
Yeah, he deserved it. He blitzed the hell out of Jimmy Garoppolo. And to this day,
right.
I'm like, sir, masterful job. And look, Daniel Sorensen, like, he's going to have a statue, at BYU, at Arrowhead Stadium? Hell, yeah. They can build it wherever they want. Like, he's the reason Bill O'Brien doesn't have a job. So, look.
He fired Bill O'Brien, yeah.
They've lost one game out of the last 14, okay? What are we, like, this is stupid. But at the same time, there are weaknesses that we need to show them, and one of them right now appears to be Ben Neiman.
I'm just tickled by how colorblind our analysis has been today. It's like the Chiefs offensive line went so similarly went down, trash. Ben Neiman, trash. Dan Sorensen, trash. What do they have in common? They're all gritty.
Did Harrison Butker do anything wrong today?
No, he was fine. Harrison Butker was fine. Who else was fine? We got to praise some white players now. I got to make Travis Kelce great. Yeah, He's always great.
Travis Kelce, yeah.
Nick Kizer, not good. Oh, God.
Which, to be fair, Nick, I would do the same thing if I was on the field, dog. I'd be like, why is he throwing? Why is he throwing me the football?
Anthony Sherman, I think, was probably fine. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the whole, I just looked at all of the players who record. Oh, Tommy Townsend actually had one bad punt. I think mostly fine. I think that's every, I looked at every player that recorded a stat. Now we've gone through them by sorting by melanin, lowest to highest, look, I guess. I don't know.
But I hope everybody understands that. That's my Stephen A today. I love Ben Neiman. Great quote. Educated, assignment style, in the gym. He's a rat. You know what he does. He's been there, battle tested. Like, how many more can I do with these? Like, he's everything you want. Coach's player, legitimately. He's a good football player. He's struggling right now.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, on that note. we're gonna get tweets about. I'm glad this was late in the show. Also, Danielle, congrats on your $15, by the way. She said she'd send us all $5 if we did this show in less than an hour, and we weren't going to, and we didn't. I'm glad that the very end of the show was this bit, because someone's gonna tweet us, but hopefully it's nobody who would not usually listen to the entire episode
or understand
the bit.
Thanks,
everyone. That's true.
You
just gotta be.
There's information.
You understand the bit.
There's information in a comedic form. Hopefully, you get the comedy. If you don't, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and like Hunter Renfro was good today.
He really was.
It's fine.
Yeah.
One for 42.
Derek Carr.
Hey, 42.
Derek Carr.
Absolutely
beat somebody.
Yeah.
At his position.
Yep.
Who doesn't have the same complexion? This is also a fact, ladies and gentlemen.
Jason Witten, 2 receptions today. They threw
a screen to this man.
What are we doing? I don't even know if I tweeted that. I just wrote in my Google Doc of notes, just like, I don't think I screened that Jason Witten's going to get it done. You have Henry Ruggs. Like, why? I just don't know if he's the burner you want to get the ball to there.
There are plays that you can create and draw up for Anthony Sherman called Smoked Sausage. And Lord, what was that play for Jason Witten called? Was that called White Rice? Like, I hope it's just called White Rice. Hey, y'all. 14 trap, BC, clear wide, White Rice. Like, what are we, like, sir, you're up and you're running this? What? So, yeah, I hope it's called White Rice. Because White Rice is the foundation for every meal, every delicious meal.
That's so good. Big game by Max Crosby. Congratulations, Max. We will end the show there. 10 minutes ago. Nate, you literally had a story that went up while we were recording this podcast. You can go check that all out in The Athletic. Again, theathletic.com/timesards will get you a deal there. You can read Seth's stuff coming there. Also, he's got something up in the Chief North newsletter already. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. I'll probably continue talking about this game somewhere on Sports Radio 810 very soon. But if you follow all of us there, you'll find all of our work. And we'll be back and doing this again. We're going to do an hour straight of serious Bills talk because we learned from our mistakes around
here. Yes, sir.
Nate, do you have a bit weirder than that one to end on or no?
No bits. Let's get serious.
Okay, let's get serious.
There was a man today who used to wear the number 11 jersey in red and gold.
Oh, yeah.
He came from the depths of football hell, y'all. And he has arisen.
He was missing leg meat. He has risen.
He has arisen. I don't care that he got sacked 8 times. That man.
Does it? Oof, not fair to him.
I mean, if people want to complain about the Chiefs offensive line, good Lord, Washington. So
if someone's listening, you're like 8 times. Oh, that's funny, Nate. That's a funny joke that you just said. No, Alex Smith got it sacked 6 times. The Washington football quarterbacks got sacked 8 times. Those were not jokes.
Right. So regardless of what happens from this day forward, Alex Smith deserves every piece of praise. I, as a father, was just thrilled that his children and his wife saw it in person. Patrick Mahomes said some very nice words, called the man special. And he is literally the definition of it in the football context. And I don't know what goes on from here, but the man has already won the Comeback Player of the Year award. We can stop all the ballots. And there are people I know in the Chiefs organization who were emotional despite losing today, learning of Alex Smith playing in an NFL football game after everything he's went through, after everything he meant to that franchise that has now become the defending Super Bowl champions. So I know Seth's not here. He would literally be shedding a tear right now for Alex Smith, but Alex Smith deserves all the praise. The Chiefs lost today, but Alex Smith won. And I just think we need to make that clear.